Mike, what are we talking about in today's episode of Moving the Goalposts?
Today, we go third man in as we're joined once again by Andrew Meehan to discuss everything NFL free agency as legal tampering gets underway this afternoon.
It's just a public service announcement sponsored by Just Blaze and the good folks at Rockefeller Records.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is Ho, O, H to the O-V. I used to move snowflakes by the O-Z.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Moving the Goalposts, New England's number one sports podcast. My name's Nick Mara, and I'm joined by my co-host, Mike Masala. Mike, how are you now?
Doing well, brother. Yourself?
Not so bad. You can check out our social media profiles on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at NickMara94. Mike, where can the listeners reach you?
Find me on Twitter at Mike_Masala or on Instagram at MikeMasalaNFL.
Be sure to follow along with us on our social media pages for Moving the Goalposts. They can be found on Twitter and Instagram at Moving the Post. Andrew's here with us today.
Hell yeah.
Andrew, what's
going
up?
On, guys? Not much. Not much.
Oh, not ready much to, with us either.
Ready to talk some NFL free agency, some trades.
What's the ladder doing in the back?
That's how we get into the attic. I don't know if you can see that in the ceiling right there.
I can, yes.
We don't have one of those drop down ladders like most people probably do.
I don't have an attic.
So. Same.
I think I've had an attic one time in my life, and it was growing up, and I never used it. And the entrance was in the closet of my bedroom, but we never kept anything up there. So who knows?
I can see you going up there Christmas vacation, just watching old school videos up there for like an hour.
Imagine that. All right, boys. So we are what? T-minus 2 hours away from legal tampering in the NFL?
Yes, sir.
Which is such an oxymoron, legal tampering. If we could rename, this is before we get into any of this, I want to know if you guys could rename legal tampering to anything, what would you rename it to? Because they've got to be creative enough to come up with something.
I have no idea. I got nothing.
Maybe they would be creative enough, but we're clearly not.
Yeah, so. I got nothing.
All right. Legal tampering for now then. So as we're recording this on Monday at 10, they're going to open that up at noon, and then free agency opens on Wednesday, St. Patrick's Day, of course, which it's been a rough 365 days.
Yeah. Starting exactly from that day.
Woo. But anyway, there's a good number of free agents available. And from a New England perspective, there's a good chunk of change available on the salary cap. There's lots of possibilities on what can happen. There's obviously a draft coming up, and there's a big, big void in, I would say, under center in New England. They did re-sign Cam Newton. They're bringing him back. What is it, like a $6 million base?
$14 million total in incentive. Well, if you include the incentives, but yeah, it's $6 million.
Which the fact that it adds up to the same amount that they offered Brady is disgusting. So they clearly are like valuing Newton the same as they value. Anyway,
was that with incentives or was it 14 guaranteed for Brady?
I think it was just 14. I think it was.
If it's guaranteed, then that makes sense. I mean, we had no money going into last season anyways.
Yeah, because you mismanaged the roster.
Right.
Well, either way, we've got an opportunity to reset this offseason. Some of the top free agents available are going to be on the edge, going to be on the offensive line, going to be at receiver, tight end, which are those two are positions that I think New England's going to have to address. Andrew, because you're the guest, why don't we go to you first? What are you kind of expecting out of New England this year, or, you know, some big names to possibly move? Is there anything that you think is going to happen?
Oh, man. Well, let me start with Cam Newton. Let me get that out of the way real quick. I'm not against it because the market for QBs compared to last year and for free agents is not that great. I think maybe Ryan Fitzpatrick is your best option out there. I don't know how many teams really want to go after people like Andy Dalton, Joe Flacco. The only reason Flacco played last year is because Darnold got hurt. He didn't do too bad in that game against the Patriots, but the free agent market for quarterbacks we're lucky there's a better draft class going into this year for teams to pick from. And I mean, the quarterbacks that you want to trade for out there are ridiculous in price, especially if you're a team that wants to rebuild. So I'm not totally against re-signing Cam Newton. I think going into last year, I mean, every team was dealing with COVID. I think it was a different story for the Patriots with opt-outs and Newton not really having a whole lot of weapons out there. I mean, if we can just get him to play like he did in the first two games, I know the Raiders, he was a little, questionable, but I think it just all went down for him after that Kansas City game. So I'm not against re-signing Cam Newton as insurance. I mean, there's not really that many better options out there. So that tells me they're probably going to draft somebody. I don't know what's going to happen with Hoyer. They're probably going to just let him go. Stidham, I say we just cut him because we've gotten nothing out of him. I mean, I think it's a useless roster spot. So that tells me that they want to go draft somebody, especially with the signing of Trent Brown. I mean, just the arm length on the guy with pass blocking is the guy is just insane. You know, he almost weighed like 400 pounds going into camp last year.
400?
Apparently that was rumored. Close to it. He shed a lot of weight. I mean, that's a little much for a tackle his size. But that tells me that they want to draft somebody. I don't know who it's going to be. I don't know what round. I mean, I don't think they should spend that first round pick on a quarterback. I think they need to build their offense a little bit with that. But, hey, man, there's a lot of offensive weapons out there, especially in receivers and tight ends. I mean, I think they're good on the running back core. So, I mean, there's Galladay from Detroit, Emmanuel Sanders. For tight ends, you got Hunter Henry. I know he talked about how he wants to play with a quarterback, but the money is going to be a huge issue. So that's like a 50-50 win-lose for us. You got Kyle Rudolph. Is Zach Ertz a free agent? I can't remember if he's a free agent or if they want to talk about trading him.
I think they were talking about trading him, but I believe yesterday they said that they were going to keep him around.
Okay, so Zach Ertz is off the table. But again, Kyle Rudolph, I mean, one of the best to come out of the Notre Dame School of tight ends. So I would definitely pick him up. You know, even if it's just for one-year deals, with Belichick, you want to focus on getting back into just resyncing this year. I think he knew that last year was going to be a throwaway. They didn't really have much to work with. Their receiver core was – your best receiver last year by default was Jacoby Myers.
He was also your best quarterback.
Yeah, that was the best throw of the year. But I think Newton might have been playing a little hurt last year, and, you know, it was tough for him to play catch-up. So I don't think he's the starter yet. But I would like to see what we do with some better weapons around him. I mean, I don't know. I'm not against the re-signing, but they got to build around him if they're going to re-sign him.
All right, Mike, what are you thinking about this whole Cam Newton debacle?
So I'm kind of in a similar mindset. The group of veterans isn't great. Again, I'm just like Andrew. I don't really want a guy like Ryan Fitzpatrick coming in. If you're trading for Mariota, how much of a big difference is that going to make? You bring in a guy like Cam Newton, you get $5 to $6 million base. And if he earns that $14 million, it's the biggest steal in the history of football. Like if you're an MVP for $14 million, I think that's a pretty decent deal. The only problem I have with it is I don't want Belichick to sit there and say, we have Cam Newton, now we don't have to get anybody else. Like I want them to go out and make sure if you have the opportunity to trade up a couple of spots and one of those top four guys fall, if it's someone Fields, Wilson, Lawrence won't fall, but Fields, Wilson, or Trey Lance, if one of those guys falls, I want them to have the opportunity to get him. And I don't want them to just sit back and say, oh, we have a veteran quarterback who we know that we like and has some knowledge of our system. I don't want them to just let that happen. I think they should absolutely build up, and there are great options here. Like I'm expecting them to go out and make competitive offers on guys like Jonnu Smith. I wouldn't be surprised that they bring in Emmanuel Sanders, like Andrew had mentioned. He's been talked about for years in New England, so we know who they like him. Curtis Samuel is another guy who's been talked about a couple of times in the last few weeks as being a guy who maybe wasn't the number one producer or an absolute burner in Carolina, but could be a decent number two in New England. So you need to go out and you need to acquire as much as you can if you want to be competitive this year. But we don't know what direction they want to go in. Do they want to go in another year where they're spending money and on 1 year deals that way, so they're in another great situation coming in next year? When you're even further under the cap and the cap goes back up a little bit because you're hoping to get revenue. I just don't know what direction the Patriots are headed in. But I think they have tons of options, obviously ton of money. And starting today at noon, we're going to get a good look into what Bill Belichick's future is going to be in the next coming weeks.
Yeah, I think there's definitely going to be an indication on what the season's going to look like and really what the next couple of years are going to look like. It seems as though they're trying to free up even more money with that Cannon trade. It's the first trade that Belichick has made with Nick Caserio. Maybe signs of more things to come. Probably not, but who knows.
Quick, interesting point on the GM front. There was a report that when Cam Newton's contract was signed with New England, the person signing it was Matt Patricia instead of normally it was Nick Caserio in the past. So that's like a weird Matt. Is Matt Patricia technically the GM right now and nobody knows it?
Wait, what?
Yeah.
This contract, right? Not last year's contract.
This contract right okay. now.
Wow.
So, I don't know. Maybe that's just what they're trying to fill that void with right now.
I mean, I
thought they would have used him like maybe defensive, like scouting or something like right. that, just heading into the draft or for players in general, even if it was trades or free agents. But I read that last night. That's pretty interesting. I don't know what they're doing with that.
Yeah. Did not see that at all. That must have missed my eyes. What was I going to say? Oh, multiple teams want to acquire N'Keal Harry.
Take him.
What? Multiple teams.
I bet you there's a team out there stupid enough to give like up at least a fourth round pick for him. I think there's a team out there stupid enough for him.
Oh, I could definitely see somebody saying a fourth.
Regardless, we should just cut him. Because what's the difference between Cam Newton and N'Keal Harry? I know two different positions, but I'm talking mentality.
20 pounds.
Yeah, pretty much. But mentality wise, so Cam Newton knows he sucks. He knows he sucked last year and he's got to own up to that. At least I want that.
Well, he doesn't act that way. He acts like he's still an MVP.
Right. But he'll. In press conferences last year, he owns up to it. He goes, yeah, I'm not playing well right now. I need to do a lot better. And that's his mentality going into this season. Like, yeah, he's still, I'm blessed, I'm fresh, all that stuff. But as long as he wins, he can dress and do whatever the hell he wants. If he brings us to 12-4, I'll let him do whatever he wants. But N'Keal Harry, I don't know if you guys saw this. I think it was with the Boston Globe. They asked him if he feels any pressure going into his third year. He says he doesn't feel any pressure at all. If I'm him, I'm feeling a little bit of some pressure right now. He has not even – there's an undrafted player, Jacoby Myers, who's playing far better than N'Keal Harry as a receiver. It's ridiculous. You're not feeling pressure going into your third year, and you have underperformed. God, he hasn't even played like a fourth-round pick or a fifth round.
I think it's because he knows he's going to get a second chance no matter what happens to him, whether it's a trade or he gets cut. He's going to end up somewhere roster. And just, I haven't seen much from him. And I think we're all kind of focusing primarily on his ability to separate and his speed, which he has nothing.
He trips over turf.
I guess he's a good blocker. I don't think they're going to turn him into a tight end. I don't think he would go anywhere else and get turned into a tight end. But there's a skill set that he can do in the NFL that would keep him on a roster somewhere if he wants to play football. And maybe he just doesn't want to play football. And that's why his mentality is, I've got nothing to lose. I've got nothing to gain.
He's a fantastic blocker. I mean, he's got that going for him, but that's not what you draft somebody in the first round for, unless right. they're a lineman. That's the only thing that separates that. True. I mean, they were talking about, oh, he's going to be great with the 50-50 ball. I think I've seen him catch that type of throw once last year. And that was in, I think, the Rams game. And at that point, it was already like 21-0. So didn't really matter at that point.
It's going to be great to watch him line up opposite Josh Gordon for Johnny Manziel's fan-controlled football team, though. I'm super excited to watch that.
You know what? He'd probably have more fun doing that because he'd be able to run up and down the field. They play on 50-yard fields, right? It's almost like
the league.
Is it 50-yard fields?
I think so, yeah.
It's super small. They have the five. It's like 5-yard spots every time, every 5 yards.
Oh, my God.
Manziel's lighting it up, though. And I think he owns the team.
It's a good gig if you can get it.
Fan-controlled football.
All right. So big-name free agents, I think, just looking at a list right here, there's some players that have been franchised, re-signed with their teams. But if we're going to focus on one position for the Patriots, what position would you say they need to address in free agency?
I'd say tight end.
Yeah, I'm going to go after tight end, second to that receiver. They got to focus on their offense right now.
So let's just talk about, we'll say pass catchers.
Okay.
Right.
So if we go down this list, I've got on CBS Sports, it was updated 17 hours ago, 2020 NFL free agent tracker. That's not going to work. What? Hunt, Melvin Ingram, Corey Davis, Juju Smith-Schuster. Yeah, I think these are 2021. Anyway, yeah.
Yeah,
top 100 free agents of fucking Pete Prisco. Get your shit together. All right, pass catchers. Kenny Galladay, yes or no?
Yes.
Oh, yes or no on the team. All right, yes. Kenny Galladay, by the way, I guess is like second to only Calvin Johnson in his first like 5 or 6 years with like receiving yards and receptions and touchdowns, like combination of all of them. I thought Kenny Galladay was like a 5'10" slot receiver. I clearly do not watch the NFL.
he's been really good.
Yeah. He's with Detroit. So that might be why you're not paying attention.
But he's N'Keal Harry if N'Keal Harry was good. Like, he's that build. He's like 6'4", 220, I think.
He's a really solid wide receiver. The only problem is he's been hurt a few times, and that's why people have been kind of expecting that his number would go down. But it looks like now, the way that people are talking, he's the number one option on the wide receiver market. So
I heard a rumor New England might be offering him 5 for $105. To think that they're going to give a wide receiver $21 million a year when they don't even give their quarterback 15 is ridiculous.
And I'm all for giving guys market value, but I mean, that would put him at like the top three paid wide receivers. And I don't know if Kenny Galladay is that guy. I've never understood because the new guy is the new guy on the market, you have to give him top dollar. I've never understood that mentality from football teams. They do that every year.
Go ahead. You're good.
Okay, good. All right. Moving on to another injury prone guy. Sorry. Hunter Henry, tight end. Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes, he doesn't want to come here, though.
He's been a little hurt. I mean, he's been hurt in the past couple of years, too. So it's not a yes, but yeah, I mean, I'd take him.
It's almost like he's better than what you have. And I have a feeling there are going to be people listening and saying, like, he's the best tight end on the market. And he probably is the best tight end on the market. But if you're going to be investing in someone, you need to ensure they're going to actually play for you. If you're going to be giving someone top dollar, you need to make sure they're going to be on the field. I do think, though, if there's going to be a one position that New England will invest in, it would probably be tight end, just because you've got good value.
Right. You get
a lot of versatility on what they can do, and the cost usually isn't too expensive. Over in Tennessee, though, Jonnu Smith is going to be available this offseason. I'm not going to lie, I really don't know much about him, but I mean, he's young, 25. Tennessee's usually had pretty good success at tight end. I mean, Mariota found really good success with Delanie Walker, so I'm sure they could probably figure something out. You've got that old, like, Mike Vrabel. He's been in the offensive room, played tight end, so maybe it's a good fit in the New England system. What do you guys think about Jonnu Smith?
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know too much about him either. But, I mean, going off of what you said, the great thing about tight end, just like you said, too, you don't have to pay. When you say top dollar, it's not like most positions in the NFL. And we know Belichick loves his tight ends, but you're not going to go spending what Galladay is probably going to be wanting out in free agency. So that's probably the best thing that the Patriots got going for them right now, is why you're going to see them sign a tight end first in free agency, because you're not going to spend nearly as much money as these other positions are asking for.
Exactly. And if you look at like the draft class compared to what they have in free agency right now, I think the draft class, obviously you have Kyle Pitts at the top and then everybody else further down.
Right. You got Hunter Long too out of BC.
Right. Yep. The tight end in free agency, I think you just have a better group overall. And Jonnu Smith, to me, he's a more athletic tight end, not necessarily the best blocker, but he can come in and he can catch you balls, which is something that no tight end in New England has done the last couple of years. The one problem I've seen with Jonnu Smith's game is he's kind of like a one game a season. He'll go off for like two or three touchdowns, and then the rest of the season he'll have two for the entire year. So he's kind of like a boom or bust type guy. I would like to see him come in and maybe have a little bit more success, but I'm not exact. I don't think New England's going to be the place for that, but I would love to have him here.
Okay, so the top two ends on the board. New England's probably not going to get either one of them. I like your positivity today, Mike.
I'm sorry, dragging everybody down.
Well, okay, then if we were to move on to the next top tight end available, it would be one Robert Gronkowski, 31. I did say he's coming back to play football next year after being retired a couple seasons ago, winning the Super Bowl with the Buccaneers this year. Rob Gronkowski, yes or no?
Yes, as we're taking him, or yes, he's coming back to New England because...
Well, he's the third best tight end available. If the first two aren't going to be coming here, we're going to have to move on to the third one. So what do you guys think? Can we get Gronk back?
I think probably not. Have to pay him $35 million a year to play in New England.
All right. I don't. So weary yes, there or no.
Right.
Am I a yes, though? I don't think I am.
You wouldn't be yes on bringing him back?
Depends on who his quarterback is, first of all. Because even at the beginning of last season, he looked like a shell of himself. Mm-hmm.
There were multiple times during last season where it looked like he was just not part of the game plan, but they did what they could have done here multiple times, what they did in 2018, which is don't make him a big part of the game plan. Use him when you need him. Big third downs in postseason. That's it. Yep.
A lot of blocking, too, especially on the run. That's how they won the run game in 2018.
Guy that I like over in Los Angeles, Gerald Everett. I don't necessarily know why I like him. It's not like he's one of these breakout big game tight ends. He just kind of seems like a solid guy to me. Are you guys a yes or a no on Gerald Everett?
No, I'm a yes.
Yeah, I'm a yes.
So I could see that definitely being a possibility. Jared Cook, only 33 years old. I thought he was a lot older than that. Tight end New Orleans shook loose. You guys a yes or a no on Jared Cook?
Absolutely.
Yes.
I think it's so funny. We are talking as though we have the luxury of just being able to choose who would come here.
Right.
I mean, why would Jared Cook come here if he thought that he wasn't going to be a big part of the offense if Gronkowski returned? Why would he come here to think he would be the number one option in an offense that's run by Cam Newton?
That's that's the thing that you got going for the Patriots right now is bringing in offensive weapons. Who's our quarterback? So that's the toughest part about this.
Right. And you're not like anybody who saw Cam last year. And the thing is not a lot of NFL players are watching every game. So maybe you have some people that are still buying into the hype of Cam Newton, former MVP.
Yeah. He's Superman. Oh, he's a likable guy.
Right.
Players.
So that's what you have going for you. And you have a couple guys who will still be like, I want to play for Belichick because that guy's a winner, even though, obviously, if you don't have the best at the quarterback position, he hasn't necessarily proven it yet. But you don't really have a draw here. Like, you don't have I'm going to go to New England because I'm going to go win. I'm a veteran. I'm coming to the end of my career. I don't have a ring yet. I'm going to go find a place to play. New England's not that place anymore. You're not getting veterans off of cheaper deals. It's just not. That's not where Foxborough is anymore.
I'm trying to think where the big destination is on Route 1. This is where
you're trying to go to Chicky Flynn's next door to Patriot Place.
Seasonal. Here's a name that I think a lot of people should get used to, because if I were to put money on it, well, maybe not money on it, but if I were to say this is a wide receiver that they're really going to talk to and try and bring in, 24-year-old Curtis Samuel from Carolina. I think there's a little bit of a connection there with Cam Newton. They didn't really play together a whole lot, but just someone that he'd be familiar with and probably comfortable with. Would you guys be yes or no on Curtis Samuel?
Yes.
Definitely a yes.
Okay. Mike, can you tell us anything about his ability to play the game?
Curtis Samuel has been – he's been like the second or third option in Carolina pretty much his entire career. He's a smaller, faster guy, probably would fill a similar role to Damier Byrd when Damier Byrd was here last year, maybe with a little bit more upside. Last year was the best year of his career. He had, I believe, 800, 900 yards. He's not going to be a big red zone threat, but he can do so many different things and can also be an end around guy. He's a versatile weapon, and that's what New England loves. So I think that's why a lot of people are speculating that Curtis Samuel is coming here. But Bill Belichick will love the guy who can do 10,000 things pretty good, but he doesn't want the guy who can do one thing great. My rays of positivity are shining through today.
I know. This is like, wake up, good morning, see ya, how are you doing, huh?
It's kind of interesting. His total yards went up since his first year in the league, and then his touchdowns went down. He only had 3 touchdowns last year, but like Mike just said, he had like 850 yards.
Right.
And I heard, you know, he's great if you spread him out, and he's probably got a little bit more speed than Bird, maybe, I would say. Maybe a little bit more possibility to go open, but... I mean, he's probably a guy that could buy into Cam Newton only because again, they were together in Carolina. Mm-hmm. So
another name that I really like and would love New England to go after. Somehow on this list, he's listed 27th wide receiver, Corey Davis. How is Corey Davis the 27th best free agent available?
He was a first round for Tennessee, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty sure it was. He was like 6th overall.
Yep. I mean, Corey Davis is a guy who hasn't necessarily lived up to his potential. He's had this past year was the best year of his career. The year prior was pretty good, but the last 3 years prior to that, he was not great at all. And they took a gamble on him this year, not signing that fifth year option. So now he gets to go into free agency, and he's going to get a big contract, but it almost seems like, I don't know if it's him just getting used to the league after a few years, because it does take some guys to do that, but he hasn't shown it enough to me to make him like one of the top options. I still think he would be better suited as a number two wide receiver somewhere.
So you'd be a no on Corey Davis then?
If he's going to be your top option, I don't want Corey Davis.
Andrew, what about you?
I'd have to agree, not our top option at receiver, but I would say yes, because I think he can provide that deep threat that N'Keal Harry has not been able to provide at all. He can separate pretty well. He can get by guys. So I think he can be a better deep threat if you bring him in. I'd bring him in for that reason. If you're going to open up the spot, if you let go of Harry or Bird, if you move on from Bird. Yeah, he's a pretty good deep threat. He added like a little over 900 yards last year. So
what do you guys think of Juju Smith-Schuster?
I don't think he's going anywhere. I don't think they'd be stupid not to resign him.
I mean, that is a team that just drafts and develops and spits out wide receivers like it's nobody's business. If he stays in that offense, what is he? Their number two, their number three receiver. And he's probably going to get at least $13, $14 million on the open market. I don't know if they could justify giving him that much money.
They're in an interesting position, because like you said, they do just tread out every year a new guy at the position. They did it last year with Claypool. They've done it with Smith-Schuster, Antonio Brown,
Deontay Johnson. They did it with too. Like, they've got such a great. I don't even know who's drafting, who's scouting, who's coaching these wide receivers. It doesn't make any sense. Emmanuel Sanders, like years ago,
Mike Wallace, like they
Antonio
had
all
these great guys, and. You're right. It does bring a lot of money to that one position, especially when he might be your second or third guy. I've never been super like Juju. To me, has been he gets open because he's of all the other talent around him. Like, you saw him in like the 1 year where Antonio Brown wasn't there. None of the other guys were at that same level. Of any of like guys like Deontay Johnson wasn't arising yet. He was nothing special. So I just don't see a team believing him as a number one. I mean, teams get stupid, so I wouldn't be surprised. But I just don't I don't want the Patriots to go out and be that team and do it.
Teams do get stupid. Andrew, you're yes or no on Juju?
On Juju, no. I don't think they're going to be able to sign. I mean, the amount of money that he's probably going to ask for, I don't think Belichick's even going to want to touch that top dollar in the market. And I think the Steelers are probably just going to re-sign him anyways. They'd be stupid not to, especially with Big Ben back as your quarterback for another year. I think they're going to need as much help around him as possible. Even though that offense took such a deep dive off a cliff last year. I mean, it's ridiculous. But yeah, I think the Steelers would be stupid to move on from him.
Yeah, I'm a bit of a personality guy, and Juju Smith-Schuster is kind of one of those players where, like, he seems like he's got a good personality and would fit well, but he also kind of seems like he's a little immature doing TikTok dances on the logo at midfield.
Yeah, go make another TikTok, Juju.
Yeah. Ultimately, I would say, though, I'm a yes on Juju. I like Smith-Schuster.
Did you, while you bring that up, did you see how he was dancing while they were getting smacked around by the Browns with, like, I don't know, 10 minutes left to go in the fourth quarter?
No, I missed that.
He was dancing on the line of scrimmage, like, oh, man, that guy just doesn't really give two shits. But at the same time, if I were a Steelers fan, like, well, like, what the F are you doing, man? Like, you're getting your ass kicked by a team that you said you were going to, you know, kick their ass in return. It's embarrassing.
Will Fuller or Sammy Watkins, yes or no?
I'm a no on both of those guys. I think they're both too injury prone for me, and Sammy Watkins just doesn't really produce. He is another guy where week one for your fantasy team, he will go off 3 touchdowns, 175 yards, 10 catches, and then you'll never hear from him again. So I'm out on both of those guys.
Andrew, what are you thinking?
Isn't Sammy Watkins a little bit of a nutbag? Doesn't he believe in some crazy ass stuff?
Yeah, he definitely had a little interesting interview a couple years ago. I remember that.
So, Nick, you want to talk about personalities? I mean,
what is
Juju's
this?
A great segue right into Sammy Watkins.
But, why? What did he talk about?
No, we were talking about personalities.
And no, like, I know.
Oh,
but
he thinks that there's – it's not Alex Jones-esque, but it kind of is. He thinks that there's something else out there. He doesn't know what's coming, but he thinks that, like, there's, I don't want to say aliens, or there's something out there, man, and it's coming. That's the best.
And it's coming.
Seriously, that's the best way that you can describe it, though. He was like, I don't know what's going to, you know, happen. It's out of our control.
Sammy Watkins, crazy. How about T.Y. Hilton, Nelson Agholor? Yes or no, Andrew?
I'd say yes on T.Y. Hilton. A guy that's got tremendous speed. He's got tremendous separation. I think he can be a pretty good deep threat. So, yeah, I'd bring him in. Absolutely.
Mike, what about you? Yes or no?
I am out on T.Y. I think he's a little too old. I don't think in the last few years he's been able to be the same player that he was in his career prior in Indianapolis. And now you're going from a quarterback, the Philip Rivers, who we all know how I feel about Philip Rivers, to Cam Newton, who is somehow even worse than that.
He's got a lot of kids.
He does have a ton of kids. And what was the other name you had said?
Nelson Agholor.
Nelson Agholor. I'm actually okay with Agholor. I don't want him to be the top option, but he has come on a little bit hotter the last couple years. I think as a number two option, he's a solid number two. He's not going to be your number one guy, but he can fill that role.
Three names to wrap it up. Rashard Higgins, who I'm pretty sure was at one point a former Patriot, if I'm not mistaken.
Sounds oddly familiar.
Kendrick Brown Kendrick Bourne, and for sure a former Patriot, Antonio Brown. Are you a yes or no on those three guys?
No.
I'm a no on all of them except for Kendrick Bourne. I've liked him in the small samples and the 49ers.
Of course, Mike knows who that is.
Kendrick Bourne, wore number 84 with the 49ers. He has been like their third or fourth option every year. And I've always liked the way he plays. Like, he comes up in big spots, can make his great hands. Separation's okay. For a guy that you've never heard of, you might be able to get a good deal on that guy.
Well, we'll see what happens. We got about 5 minutes to go before this fucking Zoom thing shuts off, and we got to either start over or pull the plug on it. But I asked you guys to come in today with a bold prediction for the off season. I left it kind of vague because I didn't want to limit it to just New England, and I didn't want to limit it to just like free agency or anything. So I'll go first as an example. My bold prediction is that the New England Patriots will trade up in the first round. It doesn't necessarily mean they're going to trade up from 15, but because I could see them trading back into the first round from, you know, second, third, whatever. But that's my bold prediction. They're going to move up in the first round of this year's draft. Mike, what about you? What are you thinking bold prediction wise?
Bold prediction. By the time the draft comes around, Deshaun Watson will be a Miami Dolphin. And they're going to trade back the pick that they gave him, that they gave them for Tunsil, and they're going to give him Tua back. So I think by the time the draft happens, the end of the draft, the Patriots are going to be in a very bad position in the AFC East.
Just a light of positivity today. Andrew, what are you thinking?
See, I'm going to have to go opposite of Mike. My bold prediction is that Deshaun Watson will be sitting out. After the draft, he will be sitting out for the 2021 season.
I like that one. I don't think anybody said that yet.
I think it's just absolutely ridiculous what the Texans are asking for. Mm-hmm. I know it's not the first round pick for this year. I think that's reasonable, obviously. Next year, okay. After that, this is getting ridiculous. If you're a team like the Jaguars and you want to buy in on a guy like Deshaun Watson, experienced, you want to try to build around him, okay, you got your quarterback. How are you going to build around him now? You got to rely on your salary at that point. Do you have enough money to go after people in free agency? Because you're probably not going to have a good amount of first round picks because you just traded half of them away for like the next decade, because that's what they're asking for. I think Caserio is bluffing a little bit. I think he knows that a lot of teams won't come after him for that. Miami is the one team, like Mike said, I see them trading with. But again, if you're the Texans, do you really want to get a guy like Tua, who got sat for Ryan Fitzpatrick against the Raiders last year? And who Fitzpatrick brought them back and won. I wouldn't want a guy like Tua after that. So I think the Texans are bluffing a little bit. I think the only way of solving that is to get rid of Jack Easterby. I think he might come back and play, but as of the draft, I think he'll be sitting out.
All right, good stuff. I like it. We're getting geared up. This is like real sports offseason talk now. This is like exciting.
This is Christmas for me. This is my favorite day of the year.
It's fantastic. Hopefully this year, though, we get a better March 17th, better result than last year.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hopefully. I think that's going to do it. Andrew, this was lots of fun. I think we definitely got to do it again. I don't know why they just said less than a minute. I'd lost a minute. It's like daylight savings time for this fucking recording.
Yeah, it said like 2 minutes for me. But, hey, it was a pleasure to be here, and hopefully you can get back on here soon.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Mike, we're going to have to record the intro to this because we forgot to do it, but we can do that afterwards. Why don't we all, let's do this. We'll thank everyone for listening. Tell them they can check out the Moving the Goalposts social media at Moving the Posts on Twitter and Instagram. You can find me at Nick Mara 94 on Twitter and Instagram. Mike, where can the listeners reach you?
You can get me on Twitter at Mike_Masala, Instagram, MikeMasalaNFL.
Andrew, throw out there whatever you feel like throwing out there.
Well, if you really want to pay attention to my Instagram, it's Mian_AJ.
Mike, till next time.
Later, brother.
Peace.